What do you think of those scriptures? You've heard them before. Front of the bulletin has a pearl of great price. You see the pearl in the shell there? Don't know much about pearls and shells. The Colorado oceans are just not so full of pearls and what have you, but Kingdom of God is the topic. The kingdom of God is what we're talking about. And an interesting phenomena about the Bible is that at some places in the Bible, they did not ever use the word God. It was a holy name that you never spoke aloud. So they would refer to it the kingdom of heaven instead of the kingdom of God. That was a way to talk around. It is one and the same. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God are the same. But it's written different ways in different places, and now you know the rest of the story. I'm sure you really stayed up way late at night worrying about that. But if you picture the kingdom of God, you picture this, what do you picture? You know, initially when I heard about that, I thought, okay, everybody's sitting around on fluffy clouds. Isn't that what the paintings and the videos always show? On somebody playing a harp and classical music in the background. But you know what? There are people that are not much fans of classical music. And there are some of us that go nuts if we have to just sit around. You tell us to go to the doctor's office, we'll have a seat, we'll be with you in a few minutes. That drives me nuts. Now, I know some of you are thinking that's a short trip for you, Pastor, but and that's true too. But sitting is not, and waiting to do what you're supposed to be doing, that doesn't come well for some of us. And so what is the kingdom like? Well, it's going to be different for all of us, isn't it? And yet in that gathering, when we are in the kingdom together, we will all be in our kingdom, in the same place with our favorite music, all of it going at the same time, and all of us hearing our music alone. Can't quite imagine it? We are humans. We are finite. So the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, in the Old Testament, Yahweh, Elohim, Jehovah, their visionment and their thoughts about it were relatively earthly. They were relatively hung and caught up in what that would be from their limited vision of how the world could be. But when we begin to listen and Jesus begins to instruct us and comes to share and enlighten and lift the scriptures further, we find that he's talking about something different. The mustard seed is not about a seed that's going to blossom in the afterlife. And it's not something else, it's something here and now, in this life. And it reflects on a time that may not necessarily be about God becomes the ruler of the world, God becomes the president of the earth. That might be the way some would see that in an authoritarian scheme. But Jesus talks in a way that leads me to believe that the kingdom is individual and the kingdom is within. I don't know how much you're into popular music, but there's a group called The Word, and they do a song called Royals. And it fascinates me because she's talking about, we're not royals. We don't have Grey Poupon. And she lists a bunch of things that she envisions very rich and wealthy people might be, sort of owning your own island or champagne and ball gowns, glittering ball gowns, and diamonds, and having your own tiger on a leash. This is what royals and rich and wealthy and aspiring people might be. She's poking her finger at all of that. We're not royals, she says. But there is some truth to what she's saying. There are many that hold that the kingdom is here on earth and that these things that some are aspiring to are that kingdom. If you become that wealthy and you can wear diamonds on all your fingers, and that you might think that you have indeed found the kingdom. The more I see in the papers about wealthy people and the messes they get into, the more I'm convinced that they have gone the other way. So the kingdom is not about accumulating wealth. I think we all knew that. We were all aware there was something more going on there. But it's not about things at all. It's not about possessions. And more than that, it's not about power or fame or beauty. The kingdom isn't about achieving those things. But the kingdom brings us back down onto earth. And on this earth, we endure hardships. I was thinking about that one day. Are there some people that just don't endure any hardships? Have you ever met anybody whose life is just smooth sailing? Unfortunately, I knew a family who basically had that. Their oldest son was brilliant, top of his class, excellent at everything. And he was idyllic. He was just perfect. Mom and dad, well-educated. Dad was president of the college. And one day he went over to a buddy's. He was out of high school, and he drove over to a buddy's house, and they had a couple of beers or something, and he was driving back. He had an icy spot, and he rolled his truck out into the field alongside the road. And he wasn't injured, and he got out of the truck, though, and he saw this awful occurrence. And he had had such an idyllic life, everything had been so easy, that he was completely overwhelmed with it, and he shot himself. And he didn't die. He was handicapped for the rest of his life. But you see, he had gotten caught in that sense of, I don't know what bad is. I don't even know what it feels like. Others of us are pretty aware. I heard a laugh there. I'm not going to go down there. And some would say the kingdom comes after we die, that we are at ease when we are in Jesus' arms on the clouds. But Jesus again indicates that the kingdom is here and now. He talks about this pearl. You know what a merchant is. A merchant would have merchandise. Merchant would buy and sell, would trade, would exchange, would build their business, and maybe have fleets of boats and what have you. And so growing their company, their kingdom, as you will, and they are growing it. And yet the merchant finds a pearl of great value. Now, it doesn't say great price. It doesn't say great beauty. It doesn't say a famous pearl. It says a pearl of great value, and that's important because value is something that the merchant had lost. The merchant was caught up with things and the cost of things and how much they were and how much he could get and how much he could control. But he gives up all that he has to go and get that pearl of great value. He has found that pearl, the pearl that Jesus is talking about. That's why he lifts the parable. That pearl is like the mustard seed. Now, I'm going to jump again, so just hang with me. We'll try and bring it all together at the end, as they say. But you've seen illustrations of a mustard seed. They're little tiny boogers like this, aren't they? I've done children's moment with mustard seeds, and invariably I've lost the mustard seed before I could get to the children's moment. That's always entertaining too. But have you ever known a moment of bliss, a moment of perfection, just a brief second even of knowing that all is right with the world in this instant, in this time, with me and with mine? Have you ever known one of those? I thought perhaps I would have known them as a kiddo. But I can't reflect on a specific time. The only times I remember vividly in a kiddo was when I was trying to stop the blood from wherever I've injured myself. Some moments of bliss, though, of those, they might come, a hint of them in some major achievement. But when they are that moment of perfection and they involve other people, it's a rare glimpse that we don't often get to see. But in experiencing them, those little tiny mustard seeds of those moments, if we nurture them, they grow. They grow and they become greater in size. And as they grow, they begin to branch out and they offer sanctuary for innocence. Those innocent ones that would come and land on the branches, that would be a part of, that would join with that sense of peace. The kingdom of God is like that. The birds of the air come and make nests in the branches. Unfortunately, in our societies, many have sought that moment of bliss, of peace, of ecstasy is where they get caught. And they begin to search for it in drugs or in ecstatic states or in wonderful movies that bring them to tears or bring them to happiness or celebration or winning a ball game or any of those momentary things that are worldly, without knowing that this perfection comes in our relationship with God. These might be visible to us in others we've met. Have you met those people that you know they're at peace? You know that they are centered in themselves and are okay? And you find yourself drawn to them and you want to light on the branches like those birds building your nest. They have found a piece of the kingdom and that grace is growing like a bush. Bliss. We think we know how to get there. Paul was great. He said, "We do not know how to pray as we ought." This is what Richard read. "But that very Spirit intercedes for us." What should we pray for? How should we pray? What should we be praying about? I was thinking about that when I was in grade school. Maybe you were like me. If I had prayed, I would have prayed, "Lord, I want you to go and punish Victor. He keeps pushing me off the swing. Victor's a bad boy. Go punish him, Lord." Never seemed to happen. Because God is not in that prayer. God is good. All the time, God is. We hang on to that and we focus on that and then we reflect. And some people pray, "Lord, I want you to do this bad thing to someone." It's not going to happen. God is not going to afflict Victor and take him out of my life. God might help me understand that Victor has grown up in a household with a dad that's a bully, a brute, an unhappy family perhaps, something in his past has brought him into a place that has made him an unpleasant person. And as we come to understand and begin to realize, we might actually be able to pause and say, "Lord, I want you to be with Victor." And we begin to see a glimpse of that mustard seed, of that bliss that comes not from trying to be angry with others, but finding a place where we might intervene with God, with someone else. And we are transformed. That mustard seed grows. And that seed grows by God's grace. We need to acknowledge that it's probably not something we can do, although we can follow where we're nurtured. We can take in the nourishment we receive, and we can use that to be a part of that growth, of that becoming that we're seeking to become. Now, I offer all of this up because there's a passage that occurs in all the synoptic gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have one thing that Jesus said, and they were all puzzled by it. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God has come near you." And they all interpret that differently. They're trying to figure it out. They remember the saying. And what does that mean? I mean, did we miss it? We were walking past the village. Did it come near us there? What? And he's talking about himself as that bush upon which the birds can land and make their nests in the branches. That kingdom within him is something we can see and we can follow and seek, and that we can grow by the grace of God. Amen.